The views expressed on the following program are those of its hosts and participants and no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
That's me. Hey, here we go. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. AM 1380. Kerry's doing a great job. 95.1 FM, and it's WNRI. Now, good afternoon to all on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. People love the FB Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. You can, and also this portion of the program is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln, serving lunch and dinner. Folks, you never have to be a winner at high-low with the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Whether it is lunch or dinner, a great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln, right off of Route 146. So easy to get to, full bar, large dining area, and unique rustic setting. It's terrific. They run a great operation. Their famous salad bar, always stacked with fresh vegetables. They also have stiff drinks. I love the place. You're going to love it as well. The Lodge Pub and Eatery. Stop in. Good time always had by all at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. People love the big screen TVs in the lounge area. All right, we normally do Political Monday, but since it was a holiday, we gave him the day off. But joining us right now on this Political Wednesday, and it is a big Political Wednesday, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Boy, Justin, I want to start off right away. Your reaction, it's amazing, the ACLU stepping in here. I think the ACLU, regarding the kettle situation, raised some very valid questions. Obviously, Senate leaders are not listening to that, stopping that. This is what we're talking about in 165 years, unprecedented, that they are moving ahead with an indictment to expel someone from the state Senate.
Yeah, and they just released the legislation, and it's strange because it includes all of the evidence sort of against Senator Kettle, and I've never seen legislation that included attachments like this. So there's something very different and odd going on here. They're basically trying to kick out a sitting state senator because of the timing. His district will go with no representation for this legislative session because there's an election coming up in November anyway, and it's the first time, as far as anybody's been able to find, that a senator has been expelled, and it's over basically some allegations for which he hasn't had his day in court. So a lot of people can be uncomfortable with the things that Senator Nick Kettle from Coventry has been accused of doing, and I certainly am, and I think if they're even partially true, he has lost a claim to political support. But for the Senate to step up and expel him is really a declaration that it's up to voters to come up with a candidate that the insiders will like and will be able to tolerate. But that gets things completely backwards, especially in this case. If we remember, one of the things in the legislation to kick Kettle out of the Senate says that he's brought unwanted media attention to the chamber. Well, you know, in 2012, Dominic Ruggiero, now the Senate president, then the Senate majority leader, was arrested for drunk driving, and he and his Senate companion, Frank Ciccone, are reported to have threatened the police that they would suffer prosecuted. So that was going on. There was, and I couldn't quickly find any old media coverage. One of the things also in the legislation is that during this period, Senator Kettle's seat has been filmed empty. And I'm pretty sure that there were at least a few days where Ruggiero's seat was empty in the Senate back then. But the idea that these same people who were arrested brought bad attention nationwide, it was in Huffington Post and all that Ruggiero was arrested, they're now going to kick somebody out of the Senate based on allegations, some campaign finance violations that have been resolved, and unwanted media attention is really a travesty, and voters, especially in Senator Kettle's district, ought to be outraged. I mean, they may want to get rid of Kettle. That's their decision as voters and electors. But for the senators from other districts to take it upon themselves to kick him out, it really ultimately, I think, changes the nature of government in Rhode Island. And people should be outraged at that.
Absolutely. You know, and we've also seen, Justin, as we talk about, if you remember, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry, he was arrested under indictment on charges of possession of crack. He remained in office. You also had one individual, the congressman, that wasn't he in prison, still serving the district from prison? But of all places, the State House. Now, let's just step back for a minute, because I can't believe just how fast this is moving. And to me, there's something going on here, just the way that this is being fast-tracked in this fashion to actually have someone removed. And that is, you know, you're exactly right. Obviously, many of the allegations against Senator Kettle, that's between him and his district, and they are disturbing. But at this point, they are allegations. So under the law, whenever this, quote, trial would be, now many of these things are never even, they go to trial. I mean, right, they're pled out. But under the law, he is presumed innocent, and he is under no obligation to say a word. He could go in. Let's just say there was a trial. I don't think it would take that long. This sounds like it would be, I talked to someone, said it would probably be like a 2 or 3 day trial. He could sit there silently with his attorney, Paul DeMeo, who would cross-examine the witnesses. He is under no obligation under the law to answer anything. And for them to say that it's more important for him to appear in front of, as Rep. Patricia Morgan said, a kangaroo court of the Senate judiciary and answer questions, forfeiting his First Amendment rights or the, you know, First Amendment and Fifth Amendment, right? I take the Fifth. It is unprecedented. 165 years, they've never moved to try to do something like this.
Right. I mean, this would be, I was trying to imagine what circumstances, because it is reasonable for the legislature to have some kind of mechanism for extreme circumstances, but what would we be talking about? I mean, maybe right after an election, some new information comes out that makes somebody just completely unacceptable and unable to serve, as in, you know, that person is the head of an insurgent organization that's trying to overthrow the government or something like that. You could picture something like that, or something that's just, the whole state is just outraged except a bare majority of a district's electors, maybe something like that. But you would want this extreme step to happen at the end of a process where the voters had a say, there was a trial, and even so, the district, the person still sitting there in the Senate has to take action. It's hard even to imagine when that would be appropriate. But this is allegations. It's simply outrageous. And the idea that not only is it Ruggiero, who has his own issues with having been arrested, he's also, as his second sponsor on this legislation, Senate Majority Leader Dennis Algier from down in the southern end of the state, and that he would sign on to this is just further evidence of that we really don't have, they really don't think it's their role to accept representation. They think that they are dispensing the right to serve in the Senate, and it's really outrageous. And one thing with Algier, if we recall a few weeks ago, his role pulling together the secret meeting of supposed meeting of the Joint Legislative Council in order to broker peace between Democrat Senate President Ruggiero and Democrat Speaker of the House Nicholas Mattiello. The idea that this is bipartisan, I guess I have a hard time seeing it as that at this point. But this shouldn't be, as you said, the speed with which this has happened. There's no breathing room. There's just, it's almost, you get the feeling that unless there's something really personal going on here, or unless they're trying in an election year to really jump on the Me Too, hashtag Me Too bandwagon, there's some vote coming up that they just want to have one less person who might vote against the leadership's interest.
Well, here's a couple things in the background, just for context. And again, folks, good afternoon. We're speaking with Justin Katz, Oceans Managing Editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. There are a couple of things in the background. For whatever reason, I don't know why the media is not reporting it. But first of all, now this alleged victim, we'll call him a victim, who is in Tennessee, who has a spokesperson who said he's now living there, so no one should call him. He did do an interview with the Valley Breeze. Initially, Channel 6 released his name, then they deleted it. Another news organization initially released the name because it's in the affidavit, then they deleted it. He is the son, as it says in the Valley Breeze, Zachary Farnham. He is the son of a state trooper. So that certainly explains my understanding why they had such a heavy-handed approach of the state troopers showing up at his place of business and then picking the late Friday so Kettle would have to spend the weekend at the ACI. Number two, there was heavy presence of state police command in the courtroom on Monday. Now, my experience, and in speaking with different legal people, the reason why that is done is to send a message to the judge as to what side of the fence they sit on. Many times, if an officer, a police officer, is shot or in some kind of an altercation with a defendant or an accused, you know, police officers pack the courtroom to send a message to the judge that this is something very, very important to them. Number three, again, I don't know why this is not being reported. Senator Kettle was very friendly with then-Senator Dawson Hodgson, who ran against Peter Kilmartin. Senator Kettle ran a very aggressive Facebook page against sitting Attorney General Peter Kilmartin. And what I have been told is this is then payback from Kilmartin for some of the things of which Kettle. So there are different factions in place. But Justin, as you and I both know, as many people were calling for these, you know, types of hearings that supposedly they want to have with judiciary during 38 Studios, we kept hearing that, well, they can't do that because there's still an open, there's an open investigation. And there were people that said, let's bring Gordon Fox in front of some kind of commission. Let's have Stephen Constantino sit down. Let's have Kurt Schilling. Let's have Michael Corso or all these other different individuals. And we were told, well, we can't because there's an active investigation. It would be pointless. They would just take the fifth. None of that seems to matter in this particular situation where what is Kettle supposed to go and argue with Senate Judiciary when he hasn't even been inside a courtroom and faced, you know, proper judicial process here?
All right. Well, yeah, absolutely. And what all of this signals, because it is so clearly out of precedent. I mean, Gordon Fox, when he was arrested, went back and was sitting. He wasn't the speaker anymore, but he was sitting down in the seats. And I was in the chambers watching his fellow Democrats palling around with him, laughing and joking and having fun. And that was, if you want to talk about unwanted attention to the State House, that was police forces invading the State House looking for evidence. I mean, that was a whole different ballgame there. And it does seem like this is just going to be a one-sided thing. It may probably never happen again, no matter what happens, assuming it happens to the right people, future allegations, that is. What's really disturbing, though, is that it shows that the folks in the State House know that Rhode Islanders are not really going to pay attention. They're not going to respond as they should. And they're just going to let it happen. And it's, you know, we're really entering a new. I think this legislation to expel Senator Kettle brings us to another step on our progress toward banana republic.
Yes.
Because
no, you're right.
It's just not. We now, representative democracy now means something different in Rhode Island than it did this morning, even. And that should bother people. And it probably won't, in part because this kind of allegation, especially at this moment in history, in pop culture and political culture, these kind of sex-related allegations are icky, and nobody wants to touch them, especially if it puts them in a position of defending the person who's accused of something. But we're really letting something slip by us if we don't respond with outrage to this kind of thing.
You know, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Justin, while we're at it, I mean, let's put it out. There are different examples. The same situation you described with Gordon Fox, which is the FBI raided his office at home, and then he still would sit there as a legislator, no longer the speaker, and carry on conversations. He was not expelled. John Solana, before he went to prison, Senator Solana would be sitting up there. Now, granted, there weren't a line of people to talk to him, but he would still be sitting up there. And let's really break it down to, you had Representative John Carnevale, who was arrested, who was set to go on charges of rape of a woman. She had some kind of untimely death. There was no call for him, never mind to step down, that there was, no one was talking about removing him in any way. for all we know, and this happens many times in court, that, okay, you get the indictment, but many times there's various motions, and we'll have our legal analyst, Tim Dodden, tomorrow, but, you know, they make a motion that the case be dismissed before it even hits trial, that then people recant things they say to the grand jury. It doesn't hold up. Kettle's attorney, Paul DeMeo, has not had a chance to cross-examine this particular individual, whether it be, you know, the girlfriend, from which we understand it was her parents that were so upset that she was involved with him, to now this mysterious former page who was 17, Kettle was 19, that has made these various allegations. A lot of times, how about even that after the state presents their case, before the defendant even has to put on a defense, they make a motion asking the judge to have the whole thing thrown out. And that actually happened during the Plunderone trial with Bacola, where Bill Murphy was his attorney. But right after the government stopped, they made a motion and the judge said, you're right, there's no reason. And he was let go of the courthouse that day. So many things could happen. And yet, as you and I both know, there'd be no recourse if Kettle is expelled. And then this person in Tennessee says, you know, on second thought, I really don't want to get involved here, testify, and then doesn't testify. Or, you know, then they find out that maybe the girl was upset. I don't know. We don't know everything involved. But talk about, like, putting the cart before the horse. My God, this just stuff just came down. And as you said, even the ACLU has weighed in, like, what a dangerous precedent this is. And that does not seem to be stopping the train in any way.
Oh, no, not at all. And let's remember, I mean, the voyeurism charges with the ex-girlfriend, that's, we have some details of what that actually entails. We have nothing, the public, on what happened with this supposed extortion. I mean, the statute of law that the indictment came down under is extortion. There's nothing about sex with a minor, nothing like that. So there may not actually have been an event. This could have, I'm just speculating because we don't have information. This could have been as simple as Senator Kettle joking around, like, I'll beat you up if you don't do this. I mean, just even that could have been it.
Yes.
We just don't know. And he hasn't had any day in court or anything in that regard. And that this would be all of a sudden, the Carnevale example is a spectacular one. I mean, just all that this is what makes somebody beyond the pale. It really smacks of politics. And it smacks of a government that has lost all sense of its responsibility to just due process, which we've kind of known for a while, as you know, as the legislature does things that look kind of suspicious in their own rules and processes. But we're really entering a bad phase with this.
I agree. And, you know, Ruggiero is definitely driving the train here. All these people we mentioned that are on board, right? McCaffrey, Mary Ellen Goodwin, they're not going to go against him. He is, and some of the words he's even used, I find even interesting. I'm surprised that, and even if some of the allegations, as you said, this is not sex with a minor, but some of the words that Ruggiero is using, I'm surprised that you know, the Women's Caucus or the progressives or even the gay community has not reacted to some of the language used by Dominic Ruggiero, as that this is abhorrent behavior, repugnant behavior, the thought of two young men, 17, 19 years old, engaging in some kind of physical contact. I mean, that, if anything, strikes as homophobic to me. Whether or not there was some kind of extortion type of thing, or as you say, if you don't do that, I'll kill you, or I'll tell someone, or, you know, whatever. I don't know. You know, the first thing, from what I understand, was this was someone he was dating. He has this friend in New Hampshire. I don't know what was going on back and forth. They're sharing pictures. This is my wife. This is my girlfriend. Hey, you know, should we get together and have some kind of a swapping swingers party? Again, people may not like that, may be distasteful. It's hardly against the law, certainly not in this day and age. It's certainly embarrassing to the individuals involved. But for this seems to be, maybe it's Ruggiero is tight with this. The individual in Tennessee, his father is a retired state trooper. Maybe Ruggiero has some friendship with this individual, and they are really going after him hard. But I can't recall an instance of which all of this was going just on an indictment. And the Carnevale thing, people need to remember, that went in front of a grand jury. He was arrested. He was arraigned. That was headed for trial. Had that woman not had an untimely death, he would have been sitting in the courtroom on trial of rape for that particular individual. And then, you know, she passed away, so it didn't happen. Justin, hold on one moment. And Marianne Goodwin, I mean, come on. She's, you know, and never mind, we're going to get to. The governor gets rid of Patrick Ward, and who they want to take his place, Marianne Goodwin. I mean, she's never seen something that she won't rubber stamp. That's why she's probably survived as long as she has. We're going to come back with Justin Katz, managing editor for Ocean State Current, folks, in just a moment. But I want to remind you, if you ever find yourself in an accident, call our friends Kenny and Patricia at West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. They're the best. It's West Fountain Auto Body. Call them, whether it's a small dent or nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340. Remember, they're going to work for you, not the insurance company. Good afternoon, Donna. Thank you. Good afternoon, Joe. It's West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Located right behind the Providence Public Safety Complex on West Fountain Street. There they are. It's West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. We'll be right back. It's John DePietro with Justin Katz on the John DePietro Show right after this.
The Paul Massey President's Day sales event is going on now. And at Paul Massey, you buy happy every time with the confidence of the Paul Massey One Price Guarantee. Right now, buy happy with this exclusive one-price lease on a 2018 Buick Encore. Only $188 a month for 39 months with $988 due at signing.
In
happy at Paul Massey Chevrolet, Paul Massey Chevrolet South, or Paul Massey Buick GMC South.
Folks, this portion of Political Monday, even though it's Wednesday, is brought to you by K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, K&R, 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R Auto Salvage. They'll buy junk cars, auto wrecks. K&R, guaranteed quality. They will pay you cash for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Go with the leader. Go with the best. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. 353-9200. Good afternoon, Rebecca. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. Right off of Mineral Spring Avenue, you'll find K&R Auto Salvage, 950 Smithfield Road, 80% off retail prices, access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts. I'll tell you, Karen and her family, they are the best. Call K&R Auto Salvage today, 353-9200, 353-9200 for K&R Auto Salvage. All right, folks, and we're back on this Wednesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at Grow It Green. Remember, Grow It Green, Rebecca. Southern New England's indoor garden supply shop. Nice new profile pic, by the way, in FB. They carry the industry's top name brand equipment. Grow It Green, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. They supply quality products, reliable info to hobby gardeners, MMJ patients. It's Grow It Green. 20 years experience. Consultations available. They're open 7 days a week. Grow It Green, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. We're speaking with managing editor from OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. And Justin, over the holiday weekend on Sunday afternoon, the Raimondo people revealed this secret fundraising agreement that they have with the so-called Providence City Democrat Committee, of which apparently they still owe Joe Paolino $23,000. I see now why Patrick Ward, who then had to resign from that, why he was basically put there like a pawn. There's talk that Mary Ellen Goodwin would take the spot. Patrick, it is unprecedented, even in the charter, as Brandon Bell points out, that it's everything's supposed to be done by committee. This was being done that Patrick Ward and the Raimondo people would have this, quote, fundraising mechanism controlled by one person, not a committee. And as much as they talked about party building, the whole setup and arrangement seemed to be set up for Raimondo donors to just go over the normal donations they do for her. Boy, $4 million in cash for the re-election is still not enough. It basically, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this fundraising, secret fundraising agreement being released on a Friday, on a Sunday afternoon during a holiday weekend.
Yeah, nothing signals that we're being above board and transparent, like putting out a document on a Sunday in the middle of a three-day weekend. You know, it's almost hard even to call this an agreement with the committee. As you said, the agreement gave Patrick Ward, by name, ownership of this money, or not ownership, but the authority to handle this money. There was nothing, per this agreement, there'd be nothing that the committee could do to take his hands off it and give it to somebody else. They couldn't knock him out as a president of the committee and put somebody else in that role, or chairman rather. It was him. He owned the control of the money. And that's part of the language. They use very technical legal language. But one of the things Raimondo's people said was, look, there's nothing corrupt here. There's no, on the ethics charge, saying that she was working with somebody who's under employ. There's no master-servant relationship here. But, you know, there kind of is when it's her guy on the committee.
Absolutely, yes.
By himself control this money. It essentially makes the Democrat committee in Providence a sort of shell company to process money.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe there are, quote, party building activities that would largely help the governor, as we've been discussed, you know, getting people to go out and just get mail ballots filled out that Phil put her name in. So there are ways she could benefit by having the committee do legitimate activities for a committee. But the whole thing just stinks right down to the Sunday release. And, you know, it makes you wonder when either what there is that she's trying to get away with, or when she'll learn that, you know, just release the agreement. If you're going to release it, don't try to do it on a Sunday, on a holiday weekend. That just looks bad. You know, and you wonder where the political acumen is, and if there's no political, or if there's some other reason to do something like that, because it is just so obvious. And as we discussed last week, saying that, oh, this committee, this agreement is completely standard. Well, no, it's really not. And everybody can see that now. It's hard to understand why the Raimondo camp doesn't just take the obvious step of being more above board. It's really a confusing question.
Well, it's also interesting. This whole moderate party wants to have this March gubernatorial debate, and I can understand. If I were Mayor Fung and if I were Governor Raimondo, I don't want any part of this. I mean, they want to propose that, and as much as we would enjoy it, but, you know, then you're just standing up there with a number of people that may not end up on the ballot. But what's also interesting about the Providence situation is you do have, although lesser known, but two Democrats that are running for governor that will be on the ballot, Paul Roselli and Spencer Dickinson. I wonder, Justin, how would the Raimondo people feel if the Providence City Democrat Committee decided that they want to funnel some money to these two other Democrat candidates that are running?
Well, yeah, that would be interesting, and it's almost a shame we don't find out about this after the fact. You know, would Patrick Ward, as the named controller of the money, have the authority to say, well, yeah, we're not going to use this money for this mailer we were planning because it put these other two people on there to get some donations or to be promoted for some event? It does get to be sticky waters in that regard.
The thing about also, and folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Just a final note on this. It's, I think there's an element, Justin, to answer your question, where some people may say tone deaf, but I think with the Raimondo people, there is consistently this attitude, which is the best way to describe it, that they are the smartest ones in the room, that they feel they have things outflanked. Even with this new spokesperson that they brought it in, so David Ortiz can go to, you know, immediately running the campaign. This guy, he's with the program and with, you know, Smiley and everything else. I feel that there just is this consistent pattern where they team Raimondo, they seemingly always think they're the smartest ones in the room and can pull these different maneuvers, and they certainly don't like it when they're questioned about it. And to think that Patrick Ward, who you and I follow this as close as anyone, I would say within the 1%, and neither one of us had ever heard of him before, he suddenly gets elected to something that was basically like defunct. In fact, I love the fact Joe Paolino's like, oh, good, I'm glad they're coming back into existence. They owe me $23,000. Maybe I'm going to see some of my money they owed me for a long time. And then, you know, sheer coincidence, his wife has a job with the state. He gets a job with the state. And they think they're just going to pass off this secret agreement that they call a standard agreement. As we both know, no, this is a way for people that are already maxed out with Raimondo to donate even more money to her campaign. I'll tell you, Justin, if there's one thing that she is just, you know, during, if you remember when Bill Clinton was running, they had the expression, it's the economy, stupid, which when in doubt, always just bring it back to the economy. With the Raimondo people, it's like, it's the fundraising, stupid. When in doubt, always go back to fundraising. It's like in Glengarry Glen Ross, ABC, always be closing. With them, it's always be fundraising, always be fundraising. Everything is about fundraising with these people. I mean, it. And then who knows what they're going to do with the fundraising, because I think that's a whole nother strategy. But I don't think we have ever seen a candidate so zero focus. I really mean that is her number one priority, is the fundraising arm of the Raimondo team.
Right. Well, they're in a difficult spot because she's adored apparently at the national level, where people even talk about her as one of the, you know, whatever top 20 people potentially running for president as a Democrat in 2020. So she's adored nationally, and she just can't get Rhode Islanders to like her very much. And so that presents a problem. And I think a lot of this results from saying, well, you know what? We just need to blow through this stage of my career where I have to deal with Rhode Islanders. And money can help me do that. And there is a lot that the committee could collect money, give it to other campaigns at her direction. Essentially, you know, hey, here, I'll donate this money to you. You've got to support me. There's the ballot stuffing thing with the mail ballots, that they could get people to go out and get the mail ballots. So I that just, all those margins, they've got to work them all. And even that might not have been enough were it not for Joe Trillo running as an independent. But it's certainly, I think, they've just got to get over that hump. And when you've got that feeling about something, that you've just got to break through one barrier, you throw whatever you do have at that barrier. And that seems to, that's the impression I get from these charades.
What do you make of, before I let you go, what do you make of this moderate party debate? Would you do that if you were Fung or Raimondo? I don't know why Trillo has responded otherwise, other than, you know, that Pastor Mark. Representative Trillo brought in this guy, Pastor Mark, who then I had in studio, and then there have been national stories. The guy's trying to run for Congress, but his background doesn't match up. He said he had this military experience. He doesn't. He said he was something else. That was forged, and I didn't know it when I had him in studio. I would have asked him about it. But would you? What do you make of this moderate party thing? I can understand Patricia Morgan want to do it. She obviously needs exposure. Giovanni Ferrosi, he doesn't even have a campaign account. There's no sense. You still have to wait till July, hand in all the signatures and everything. What do you make of the moderate party proposing doing this March debate with Bill Rapley as the moderator?
Well, the question it raises is really, what is the moderate party right now? I mean, if I were advising a candidate, especially one in the lead for their primary, I'd say don't do it. I mean, yeah, if you recall the last election, the moderate party sprung Bob Hurley into the mix at the very last minute.
That's
after
right.
All the primary.
Yes.
And so now I'm going to come to your organization as a candidate and help you promote yourselves with no apparent candidate of their own through a debate. It would make no sense to kind of do that favor for the moderate party. If they want to be more of a good government group, rather than a party, then they ought to do that and rename themselves, you know, the moderate party good government group or something, rather than actually being a party and just using, I guess, their name recognition in order to pull together an event like this. So I find it hard to blame candidates who decline to participate. You do want to see candidates speak and debate as much as possible, so it'd be better for them to find some other forum that they would agree to do rather than just write this one off. But it also makes me wonder if Rhode Island suffers from a kind of a small pond syndrome.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everybody who's active, they want to run a group, you know, and rather than work together and resolve differences among the people who aren't part of the ruling class and create a broader consensus that could maybe go up against the insiders, and maybe then the insiders wouldn't feel like they could do things like expel members for very limited reasons and trample on our rights as voters. Maybe if we didn't have that small pond syndrome, they wouldn't feel like they could get away with that. So I think it kind of weakens our entire political system, and it'd be nice if we understood more, if these things weren't just announced, and we understood more why the people who are organizing these things are organizing them. What's the purpose of it? And then maybe we could avoid some of the sheer peculiarity of a political party without a candidate hosting a debate for all the other candidates.
Yeah.
It just sounds weird and adds to that feeling like we're just a dysfunctional state politically.
If I were, I had Rep. Morgan on, and she said, well, I'm going to do it. I don't think Mayor Fung should hide and Governor Raimondo hide. But if I were the Raimondo campaign and the Fung campaign, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. You have nothing to gain. You only have something to lose. It puts you on the same level as these people that don't have infrastructure, that don't have fundraising. You could even question if some of them are really serious candidates. You know, they say you really can't win a political debate. You, if anything, you know, but you can certainly lose a debate. You never want to go in to try to win. You just don't want to lose. But speaking of that, what do you make of the Trillo campaign and also the Representative Morgan campaign?
Well, the Trillo one, I just find inexplicable. I don't see I haven't seen anything in his background that makes me think, yes, this is definitely the guy who should run for governor. And I don't see, he kind of shocked everybody when he just announced he was going to run and then not even do a primary, just be an independent candidate.
Right. As we're getting into March here, Justin, I would find it hard to believe. I mean, again, he did have an event. He did have that guy pass to Mark Burns in, but I don't see a lot of activity. I don't see come meet town hall meeting here and there, or I don't know. It right now, maybe he's in, I don't know, maybe he's in Florida. It seems to be a little bit of the stealth campaign. He certainly is not, you don't turn around. I don't see billboards. I don't, for someone that needs to establish the name statewide, I don't see any nonstop effort in trying to get that thing going.
Right, and that's what we discussed early on when he first announced, is he would have to be out there everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's serious about this, he has to be knocking on every door in the state just to say, hey, I'm here and I'm a viable candidate.
Right.
Instead, it's, you know, press releases and fun stuff like a news story here and there. You get to go on some TV shows.
But even that's quieted down. You know, you get the initial bump, but there's a novelty to that, and you got to have something, and it's got to go beyond that. Before I let you go, I want you to just touch on, I know there was, lack of a better word, a little bit of a dust-up between yourself and other people and the progressives that took something out of context regarding a dog whistle, and just touch on that. I know Marsha Ranglin was involved with that, and then I think that guy, he's a big progressive Dem. Jeff Levy was actually the one that used it. And just, it's up to you, but if you don't mind just, like, shedding some light on that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very educational, the way these people operate. So the Gaspy Project has put out, an internet meme showing Aaron Regenberg, progressive representative and candidate for lieutenant governor.
Right.
Related to some legislation he had put forward, and it said he wants to be a thought police overlord. And that was the extent of it, a picture of him with that phrase. And for some reason, progressive senator from Providence, Gail Golden, thought that it was anti-Semitic and said it was an anti-Semitic dog whistle. And frankly, when I until she had said anything, I didn't look at this picture and see a Jewish guy. I saw a progressive representative. So I responded to say, hey, you know what it means if you can hear a dog whistle? And, I mean, basically the answer is you're the dog. And we're talking about a metaphor here. And her Jeff Levi, however he pronounces it, who I think is her husband, got all agitated, and finally Aaron Regenberg jumped in on Twitter and said, stop calling people dogs, which, of course, Kathy Gregg from the Providence Journal retweeted out to her followers. So it's a good example. You know, I used to see this in college all the time, where just any excuse, when they can't win arguments, any excuse they can use to twist
a word
and make it look like something it's not, that's where they go. That's the level of their argumentation.
Believe me, I know that firsthand. They take something and they turn it around into a completely different meaning. In that situation, you know, during the presidential campaign, you had all these people saying, oh, when someone says make America great again, that's really dog whistle for make America white again. That is a very common phrase that is tossed around. And then they turn, oh, don't call someone a dog. I mean, that is a joke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the way I wrote about it on the Ocean State Current was, I don't think Gail Golden actually heard a dog whistle. I think she has what I call identity politics tinnitus. There's just this constant ringing in their ears where everything is about identity politics. And it's a good excuse not to address an argument.
Yep.
So we can just put that aside. We don't even have to question this because they used the word overlord next to a picture of a Jewish guy. I mean, I was actually curious. I thought maybe I didn't know that this was known to be something. And I haven't found a single reference. Well, here and there you'll find that overlord's a common word. But there's no association of overlord with the image of a Jewish control of things.
Right.
It's just a word people use, and it's actually from feudal Europe, which is perfect, because I think what it was Regenberg's was a sponsor on a bill that would give the state authority to go in and to every public and private school in the state and determine whether there was any kind of discrimination. I mean, above and beyond, you know, just our basic civil rights as Americans, but really would give the government the ability to be an overlord to all of the little fiefdoms of school departments in the state. So I thought it was actually the appropriate use of the term overlord there. But the idea that it would be, that it gets twisted around, and, you know, as a word of warning to people who might be going into Twitter, or into politics or public life or somewhere in the public spotlight. They do this all the time. It's actually a determined strategy, and they use Twitter for this purpose and Facebook as well, because if they can get all of their little followers to send you mean messages, then you start to feel like this is a thing. There are actually people angry at me. But then you stand up to them, and they all blow away like leaves. So I think people should take the lesson that they just, you know, be grown-ups and explain to them, hey, this is what this term means. Can you provide me any evidence that it means something different? And then they're usually just quiet, because they're just spouting off and trying to score political hits like little fleas. I suppose that's probably a dog whistle too, but
I think it is. We're going to leave it at that. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Lots of fun. Talk to you later, John.
All right, folks, there he is. Excellent, as always, our friend Justin Katz. Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Larry. They don't have an argument. This thing with Kettle, though, that is the fact that the speed they're looking to try to get rid of him. There's definitely something up there. I'm going to see what I can find out. Good afternoon, Florence. After the program, it would not be the first time. Ruggiero is driving the train on trying to get him out of there. Now, who knows what could be going on? Where then, see, going after Kettle, Senator Nick Kettle, of which if you go to my Facebook page, John DePietro Show, should he be expelled? Going after Kettle is a way to score points with the state police, because the victim or alleged victim, what have you, from Tennessee, his, according to the Valley Breeze when he did an interview, it was identified that his father was a retired member of the Rhode Island State Police. So Ruggiero, Senate president, possibly sees an opening to score points with the state police. Now, we also don't know if the state police have an investigation into the laborers. It would certainly maybe make them think twice. You never miss an opportunity to score points with law enforcement. And I think that that is basically, we don't know yet, but what there's some angle here on why this is being done in such a swift manner in order to try to get rid of Nick Kettle. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you, one of the best ways or one of the nicest things that you can do for yourself is, in fact, to have clean drinking water. And the way you can do that is, in fact, to call our friends Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company. Do what I did. Have a water filter installed in your home. Water Filter Company. Call them today. Free consultation, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts at 294-2400. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. Call them. Don't rely on bottled water and be careful of what you're drinking that comes out of the tap. Call Water Filter Company today. 294-2400, 294-2400, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. There are so many investigations right now where they're looking into unsafe drinking water in different communities. Don't take any chances. Call Water Filter Company today. 294-2400, 294-2400. For Water Filter Company. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back and more of your phone calls as we roll along on this Wednesday. Again, 766-1380. Should Senator Kettle be expelled? They are moving at record speed right now. And you can go to the Facebook page. Hey, joining us right now, also moving at record speed, is our friend Sal from Metro PCS. Good afternoon, Sal.
I got one speed and it's go.
There we go. One speed is go. Sal, this the weather is perfect. It's a good time for people to be outside. This is a great week for people to take advantage of the offer that you have going right now.
That's right. Right now at Metro PCS, we have the best unlimited deal going on in wireless. You're going to get two lines of unlimited 4G LTE data for just $80, period. Plus, on top of that, you're going to get two free awesome smartphones, not one, but two free awesome smartphones with 32 gigabytes of memory when you switch to Metro PCS. So right now, only Metro PCS is going to give you twice the memory on any free phone that's out there. You're going to have unlimited 4G LTE data. You're going to have more for your pictures, more for your videos, more for apps such as Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, more for apps like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you like to do. You're going to have the ability to do that and much, much more with these awesome smartphones from Metro PCS. And on top of that, you're going to be enjoying them on a nationwide reliable network with Metro PCS. So if you've been thinking about switching, you've been putting it off, I mean, now is the time to do it. The deals are hot, and now is definitely the time to make the switch to Metro PCS.
Folks, Sal is so knowledgeable. Now, again, I understand people are afraid, wait a minute, what if I lose some of my contacts? What? But zero. I made the switch. Unbelievable. And it's a life changer. Sal, I can't believe how much more room I have and how much faster my device is, my phone.
Absolutely. The speed is definitely, especially with your device, the speed is definitely key. Whether it be the internet and the memory on the phone, which is definitely big in your situation.
Folks, now, and also, maybe you'll like our friend the champ, Vinny Paz. He's always losing his phone or breaking his phone. The Paz man's going to stop in and see our friend Sal at Metro PCS before he has to deal with pretty boy Lavoie. The champ is going to stop in. He told me he may go to the Cranston Street store because he is from Cranston. 1027 Cranston Street, folks. It's right next to the Rite Aid. Take advantage. Stop in and see Sal. 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, right behind Rhode Island College. You have Smith Street in North Providence, next to Salon d'Italia. Atwood Avenue in Johnston, right next to Johnston Town Hall. And also 1553 Plainfield Pike, right off of 295 in Johnston. And Sal, what's the best phone number for people to reach you at?
Best, easiest way to contact myself and my team, you can call us at 401-332-5051, 332-5051. If you have questions regarding this promotion, you want to learn more about it, you want to take advantage of it, or maybe you don't have Metro, maybe you have a problem with your phone and you need help and you're not getting it, call us. We want to help you. 332-5051.
Folks, thank you, Sal. He is the best. It's our friend Sal with Metro PCS. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, lunch or dinner, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're up on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, John DePietro. This is John from Johnson. Hey, I happen to be on Plainfield Pike right now, enjoying a beautiful walk this day. I'm technically in Cranston now.
Okay.
But, yeah, right up the road from Sal's.
Stop so, right in there and see him at Metro PCS. What's on your mind, John, from Johnson?
Gotta see him. Well, no, what Mr. Katz was saying, I broke into the conversation earlier and I heard him. Yeah, Banana Republic, huh? You know, it's just atrocious what's happened in this state. What's on my mind is that we need to get back to, you know, what truly made us great. And, you know, I mean, if I may ask you, don't poo-poo Roger Williams. I know his name has been bandied about by people we would not rather follow. But if I may offer a suggestion for a reading.
Go ahead.
A book by John Barry, Roger Williams and the Creation of the American Soul. This was Rhode Island's, this is the blessing that the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations has been to the whole nation, and you know this idea of liberty, you know. And
John, you agree. I mean, regardless what happened or the allegations against the senator Nick Kettle, he deserves his day in court for crying
indeed,
out loud. These are just allegations.
Indeed, yes, and I hope he doesn't get thrown out. I mean, and the people who are passing judgment on him, it's appalling. You know, right from the governor on down. You know, they're all just playing the numbers. You know, they want to pack the state in with people. You know, here's the thing. You know, we're all playing in this game of life, you know. And what came to mind is, you know, they play for keeps, you know. See, we want to keep just what's ours, you know. They want to take and keep. They want to take ours and keep it for themselves.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's the socialists, okay. They've been at work in this state since, not just in this state, but in this country since the mid-1800s. Karl Marx was very happy with what was going on in the mid-1800s. He was, you know, I mean, we've been sold a pack of lies concerning our history, you know?
Well, and, listen, the thing, thank you for the call, John. Folks, the thing about Senator Nick Kettle, and they're moving at a record speed to try to get him out of there, is the guy does deserve his day in court. He's facing, it's allegations. He hasn't been convicted of anything. He's got a long way to go, and even in the process, he would not have to even say anything. He is presumed innocent. Until proven guilty. So in a court of law. So he doesn't really have to say anything. The case could fall apart and then boom, he's out of there. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at Propane Plus. Tim Johnson and his family, the guy is a genius. For over 50 years serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Propane, call Propane Plus today. In Rehoboth, call them at 508-252-3359. And in Rhode Island, call Propane Plus today at 885-4209. It's the safer, cleaner form of energy. It's propane. And on top of that, they can have a tank, install a tank, either above ground, below ground, or it's a hot shower, keeping the lights on in your home. You can depend on Propane Plus. Online at propaneplus.com and call Tim Johnson today at 885-4209, 885-4209. It's John DePietro. Tomorrow, attorney Tim Dodd on the program. We'll have a lot more. I'll be back tomorrow at 2. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next right here. It's AM 1380. It's 95.1 FM. And it's WNRI. And don't forget, go to WNRI.com. And you can also hear the podcast. We had Representative Morgan on earlier and a lot more right here on the John DePietro Show. Enjoy this beautiful Wednesday.